Accession number 10012, reel number 4.
Mr. George Clayton, reel 4. Now, you say you just got to the front line by Sanctuary Wood, and your officer had pointed out where you were, where the tunnel you were to sink the first shaft.
Yes.
Could you
yes.
take up the story from there?
Yes, yes. Well, when he got us to the front, into the front line of trenches in Sanctuary Wood.
It was the front line, was it? Not the support line?
It was the front line, yes, yes. The near the. He got us as dear to the Germans as he could, and, that meant less tunneling underground. But, well, he says, I think we'll sink the shaft here. Well, we told him none of us have ever done any sinking. He says, you call yourselves miners and you've never done any sinking? No. In this part of the world, you know, the special teams go from one colony to another to do the sinking, what they call sinkers. But he was an Australian officer, do you see, and he'd been used to prospecting for gold, as they call it. Well, maybe only shallow, you know, these owners of gold, and that's the way they got down to them. They had to. They called it a shaft, but anyway, eventually he says, well, we'll have to make the best we can of you, and we start to sink a shaft 4 feet square, timbered all the sites. We got down about 25 feet.
Now, how did you go about that? I mean, you've got the trench. Did you dig a side? Into the side of the trench and then
oh
down.
Yes, well, we're timbering all the way we were going down, do you see?
So sorry, I missed that. Can you say that again?
All the way we were sinking, do you see? It was notched, this timber. The long plank, do you see, fit in like that. Do you see? The same way at the other side. And we timbered right down, but when we got down
this
to
first
the
first shaft, though, where was it in relation to the trench? I mean, it can't have been in the middle of the trench. Everyone would have fallen down it. Whereabouts was it in the trench? In one side or the side nearest the Germans?
The side next to the Germans that we made the shaft. Yes, we made an inset, you know. There was the trench, and then there was a parapet built with sandbags above that. But we made an inset.
How big was that?
Well, I would think it would be about 4 foot, about the same width as a shaft. And, when
this shaft down, how did that work? Was it vertically down, in which case?
Vertical down, yes.
How did you
vertical
go about
it went down about 25 feet.
How did you go about doing that then? Did you have a ladder fixed? Or
there was a rope ladder, the same as what you use on the ships. That's how we got up and down. And when we got to the bottom, there was water. Well,
just another question. Sorry to keep interrupting. What did you do with the earth that was taken out while you were digging?
Oh, that was filled into sandbags. And there were some Gurkhas there, Gurkha regiment. They used to do the fatigues. They carried them away to where there's some low-lying ground, maybe in the trenches, and they could just tip it anywhere to fill a hole up.
Who would fill the sandbags? Would the miners who were digging?
The miners filled the sandbags, yes, yes.
And then how would they get them to the top of the shaft?
They wound it up with a windlass. The same as what there's on a, you've seen a pump, you know, one of these. There was a handle at each end, and there was a rope, and it was all filled into bags, sandbags. Sandbags would hold maybe, half a hundredweight, maybe. I can't tell you exactly what the sandbag would hold, but there was a rope and a hook on it, and he hooked the bag. Jenny brought the bags up two at a time or three at a time, do you see? And then these Gorkas. There wouldn't no bone down there, Johnny. No going down there. They wouldn't go down the shaft under no consideration. But they would carry the sandbags away. Oh yes, and
wait. Sorry to keep asking. How many of you would be working in the shaft at any one time of the miners?
Maybe be just two of you, and then you would relieve, you know, then another two would come.
How often would you be relieved?
It would maybe be arranged with yourself. You'd maybe have a couple of hours, or maybe have an hour, and then if you wanted the work to progress, you would relieve the man quicker, and there was...
So you'd have one digging and one filling.
That's right. No, that's the way it was. And
then every 2 hours you'd be replaced by another two.
Be replaced by another one. But really, it was a 24-hour job. There was 3 8-hour shifts 7 days a week. That's what there was. It was working night and day there.
And how much would you work during those shifts?
Oh, as much as you were able to do.
After you'd done your 2 hours... down the shaft, how long would it be before you had another 2 hours?
I would say you would work it in 2 hours each way. But you were really in an 8-hour shift, and you could be called upon during that 8 hours, do you say, to fill in where the other ones was being relieved. You could do it that way.
What tools were you issued?
Tools?
Dig? Yes.
To we dig had what they called an entrenching tool, and we had picks and shovels. Picks and shovels.
Were
and
they short handle picks or long handle picks?
Many cases are the same as what they use in constructing drains here in this country with, you know, making things of that kind.
Now, you hadn't had much experience of actual digging work. How did you take to it in this first time in the front line?
We started sinking, and as Will said...
But did it not affect your hands? Were you able to do the work? Because it's hard
work.
Oh,
well, I'd overdone plenty of hard work before I went there. Firing, you know, you have a huge poker, and then you have your shovel. To shovel your coal in with, and it your hands was pretty tough to start with. Yes,
so
I had no trouble with the hands, no.
So you say when you got to the bottom, 25 foot down,
yes,
you got to water. So what did
yes,
you do about
then
that?
We had to get a pump. A pump, you see, it was what they called a lift and force pump. It was work with a handle, but there was a hose pipe away from that up the shaft, and so far away where there's a low part of the trench where the water got run away.
Who would run that? Who would pump that? Would it be a miner?
A miner. He had to work that, yes. One of the lads had to work the pump. It was hand-operated, yes. It wasn't mechanical-operated.
So would that be a third miner down the shaft, then?
Was it what?
Would that be a third miner? You'd have the digger, the bagger... Would this be a third miner?
Well,
or would you just
yes, when there was room for one, there was man had to drag these bags along, you know, and then he would maybe get, as we got a greater distance, well, they'll be handed on to another one, and he would drag it so far, then another one, he would drag it so far, do you see, that took the strain off you a bit, and that you could operate that way quicker, get them
and
over.
And they'd all be the miners, there wouldn't be normal infantry?
No.
So there'd be no normal infantry down a deep one of these mines?
Yes, I would say the majority of them was all miners.
This pump, what, did you ever work it yourself? Was it hard work?
Well, we usually got the Gurkhas. They were an Indian regiment, and they used to wind the bags of soil up, you know, that was coming out, clay and that, and dispose of that.
But what about the pump, the water pump?
Well, they used to work the pump, yes. It was a lift and force pump, you know, what they call lift and force, and it was got to get the water out.
How far did it take you to get 25 foot down? How long did it take you, rather?
How long did it take us? Well, we were walking 3 8-hour shifts, you know. We travel pretty quickly when you have a continuous work going.
So now, when you got to the bottom, what did you do then?
When we got to the bottom?
Yes, you'd driven your shaft. You were about to drive your galleries. Which way did you go?
The Germans started that game first. They were tunneling. They blew our miners or trenches up first. And we were urgently required to go there as quick as possible to give them some of the own back.
So you got to the bottom. What did you do then?
Well, we took a straight drive towards the German trenches. And when we got
was
so...
Was it just one?
Eh?
Just one tunnel or gallery? Was it just one?
Oh, just the one to start off, you know. We started off one. And then it came when we could hear the Germans digging. Hear the thump of them walking underground, you know.
How far had you gone towards the Germans before you heard that?
Well, I would think about maybe a couple of hundred yards between our trench and theirs. And
how far had you got across that?
Well, that was the report when we heard the thumping of the Germans walking. They were walking underneath. We knew that. And
you could tell where the sound was coming from then? Even
yes, well, we had a listening stick, we called it, but I think our real name was a geophone. It was a listening device you put to your ears, and you could put it on the bottom, on the sides, and if the Germans were walking, you could hear them, and I think they had the same thing for us as well, because they've blown our trenches up, and the men with it, more times than one that I can remember, and we used to do the same with them. You see, sometimes the Germans beat us to it, but sometimes we beat them.
Now, this shaft that you were driving out towards the Germans, was that covered in wood on all four sides, like a box?
Wood on all sides, like a box, right down.
Continuous.
In the same way when we were driving, it was a wood bottom, wood sides, and a wood top. It was close timbered. There was no fear, danger of it falling in on you, no. You kept it good, both the sides, bottom and top, with these timber. It was about... you know what a 9x3 is? That's a batten, as we call it, you know. Well, it would maybe be 6x1, I would think it would be, the timber that we use. But it made a good timber, sides, top and bottom.
And you'd fit that as well, would you?
We carried on with that, you know, as we were digging it out, we were putting more timber in, the top, side and bottom, until we got, until we could hear them working.
Before we get to the bit about them working, how did you go in a straight line, or did you...
Yes, well, as near straight as possible, because the reason of that is a straight line is the shortest distance between two points.
How did you keep it straight? Did you use a plumb line, or did you just guess?
Well, yes, we had a surveyor, John Warnock. He was a very good man, a Glasgow man, and he's mentioned in that book there, John Warnock. He was in our lot, and he took his bearings, you know, and we worked under his instructions. In fact, there was one time we had a tunnel here and a tunnel about a couple of hundred yards farther to the right.
We'll come to that later when it actually happens. We'll stick to this first tunnel first. So you were just told which way to dig. Well, how would they indicate that to you? With marks or what? Or they just point?
Well, yes, he put a mark on. The surveyor put a mark on. We had to follow that as near as possible. He was... on the job every day, came down to see what progress you were making, you know. But he's a good surveyor, and I remember one time, as I said, there was a tunnel here.
We'll keep that until we actually get to that time, because otherwise it'll get out of order in the sequence, you see. How was the tunnel lit?
Lit?
Yes, did you have
it? Oh, you had candles. Candles played a big part in the First World War.
Where did you put them? I mean...
Well, you could just find a candlestick. You could make one out of clay and soften it with some water or something. So you could really put it anywhere you wanted it. When it was put into a clay bed, you know, they say, the candle was stuck in there. Well, with this clay being semi-plastic, you could put it there, or you could stick it under the side. And that was your candlestick. And you could always find a spot to put your candle in to get you as good a light as you could expect, you know.
And about how, on this first tunnel, with having to timber it all round, about how far would you go a day?
It was timbered top, bottom and sides.
So how far would you go a day forward towards the Germans? How many feet?
Oh, well, we thought that conditions were such that it required timber.
I think you mishear me. How far would you go a day? How many yards or feet would you go towards the Germans a day?
Before we put more timber in?
No, nothing to do with timber.
Oh, when you heard the Germans, you were to...
No, how far would you go a day? How many feet could you dig out a day? How far would you get in a day? I mean, you didn't just dig at the wall. You went forward, didn't you?
Oh,
how far forward would you go a day?
You would sometimes. It was suspended altogether.
But when you did dig?
Because they could hear us, you know.
But on a normal day's digging, how far could you dig a day?
Well, that would depend upon conditions. You could take the conditions of the strata that you were working in. Some clay was easily dug out, and just dug out with this entrenching tool. And
so how far would you go under them circumstances?
Well, I couldn't say exactly how far you went in a day. As I said, I could give you an estimate. You could maybe
that's fine. Yeah. Or on a shift.
Sometimes we travelled very quickly, because the strata that we're walking among was easily worked. You could dig it out, and it was mainly a grey kind of a clay that we were in, and it was salient.
And that was easy, was it?
It was easy to walk, yes, I will say it was good to walk.
So would you get 10 yards, 20 yards?
Oh, yes, I would say it would easily 20 yards in a shift, 10 yards in a shift.
In a shift?
Yes, in a shift.
So how much in a day?
Well, that would be...
30 yards?
30 yards, pretty good going, you know. 10 days at that, 300 yards, so you're moving, you see, when you're getting 10 yards a day out, yes, yes.
Now, this first tunnel you were digging then, what happened? You were digging out, and then you said you heard the Germans, so what happened then?
Well, we had to send for an officer, and he came down, and he had his listening stick, the gigaphone, or what it was, and he could hear the thumping going on in there. Someone was using a pick, and, there'll be consultation among the officers what was best to be done when this sound was being heard, the Germans digging underneath. Well, the thing was to construct something that would put a shot into them. So we generally got this boring tool. It bored a hole about 8 inches in diameter, a round hole, and we were bored on there with this boring machine till we got a hole that would maybe be about maybe about 12 or 14 feet long. And then we had what we called a torpedo tube. The sort of plan for these eventualities, you see, that they had this torpedo tube, and we put that in, and then it was the stem, you see, to stop it from blowing back. You wanted it to go forward.
Was this torpedo tube filled with explosives then?
Eh?
Was it filled with explosives?
Oh, yes, it was filled with explosives. And there was a detonator put into the torpedo tube, and the wires come right away back to the shaft, up the shaft, away into the support trenches. And sometimes we blow the trenches up, or sometimes it was only a charge sufficiently strong to go into where they were walking.
Now this first time, you said you had to stop it blowing back. You wanted the force to go forward.
Yes.
How would you do that then?
How did we do? We filled the bags with sand and clay, and then we carried, there was a lot of broken tree trunks and sanctuary wood. We got them cut up into lengths, and all this was interlaced down below, you know.
In your own tunnel?
Yes, into one tunnel, yes.
So the wires would come through this.
The wires come through that to the shaft bottom, up the trench, up the shaft, then away to the support trenches. Because when we've blown the German trenches up, which we have done, and they've blown ours up, the earth used to come over into one trench, you see. Every man wished to be withdrawn from the front line trenches when we were going to make an explosion.
Now this first time, this first camouflage, or whatever you called it, you know, mine explosion, was designed to damage the Germans' workings. Did it work this first time, can you remember?
Well, no, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't.
But this first time, when you first did
Well,
wouldn't you know?
Well, I would think it had worked satisfactorily, the fact that we kept on that way. There was a lot of underground explosions. Some that wasn't intended or never did disturb the surface, but we wanted to get into their galleries that they were driving near us, you know, sometimes above, sometimes below. And I can say that more times than one it was satisfactory, because after the explosion, we've continued to dig through where that had come down on, you know, and we got dead Germans out of there, dead men. And they've done the same with us.
What about this first time? Did that what happened after this first explosion?
Well, after the first explosion, it's a big question. Ask me that now after the first one.
If you do, all right. Well, did you carry on in that working, though, that mine?
Oh, yes, we carried on working as long as we could until it was blown up altogether, which sometimes happened, you know.
Under the German trenches?
Some days we got underneath the German trenches and blow. But some days, when that happened, we had to, not only to withdraw away man out of the underground mine, but the trench as well, because we've been underneath the Germans and blew them up, but a lot of the earth came into the front line trench, but we're always wise enough to get the men out of there. We knew that there was that danger, you know.
When you were underground and you heard the Germans working, did it make you very nervous, knowing that they
yes,
were...
Yes, and on no account had you to speak above a whisper, and you had sandbags wrapped around your feet, so there wasn't any noise with your feet, you know. You had to walk as quiet as you possibly could, because we knew that they won the game as well. In fact, they... We learned a lot from the Germans. They started it first. And we learned a lot from them, you know. We had an idea what they were doing. Well, we got a consultation with officers, and they directed the operations then, you know. Told us we had to either go up or go down or turn to the right or turn to the left and drift there. But I can always say I think we always gave them as good as what we got.
But
I can say that.
When you heard the Germans underground, did you get very nervous that they were going to blow up your...
Oh yes.
What would you do?
It used to put the wind up the tubes, but the only way...
What about you miners? I mean, you were actually underground.
Yes, well, we had to carry on according to instructions that we got from our officers. If we had to still carry on mining, or maybe in the direction he wanted us to go. Of course, the men were naturally... They got the wind up, there's no mistake about that.
What about you miners? Did you get the wind up as well?
Oh, yes, the miners got the wind up as well, but, you carried on with it. As I say, the old fellows are being blown up on the ground in the conditions that you're... and killed in the conditions that you're speaking about there now. And, we've done the same with them. And I can always say... They got as good as what we always gave them as good as what we got, yes. We always would hold our own. I think it would be, I wouldn't say one was better than the other, but I would say that one was as good as the other.
Now this first shaft that you'd launched from Sanctuary Wood, what was its ultimate objective?
The Hood Chateau. That was in the, it had been a big Belgian house. But there was only the cellars left. The house was all shut away. And our object was to get under them and give them what they were giving some of us, you see. But eventually we got under them. We could, in fact, at night time when the guns were quiet, the big guns, you know, you still got the sound underground of the artillery firing, you know, shells and bursting and... But I've heard them muttering in German, and you could hear the, like a noise like that, you know, when the feet was coming down the steps. You could even hear the glasses, as if they'd maybe been drinking lager. I don't know what to drink out there, but you could hear the tinkle of the glass. That was with this geophone we had on, you know, this listening stick, we called it. It was very sensitive, and when things was quiet, and we weren't allowed to speak, you know, and as I say, we had to have our feet muffled, and no consideration had we to speak to one another, not one underneath, in case the noise was heard up above, do you say?
So what happened when you got there, then? You were now very close to it.
Well, we got that laid with explosives, and we got it stemmed, and we'd be on
about
3 or 4 night and day stemming it, filling the sandbags or tray trunks, anything we could get, you know, and fasten them in there to stop.
You didn't use a torpedo, though, for this one. You'd use more explosives.
Not for that. Not if you were going to make a... So if you used a torpedo tube, it was for when you could hear the Germans walking, and we wanted to shoot into them, do you see?
And you'd already done that in this shaft when you heard them nearby. Is that correct?
Well, I would say that came on later. The first thing was the Hood Chateau.
Fair enough.
That
so
was the first thing.
You weren't interrupted on this first.
We weren't interrupted at all.
Now,
but,
what explosive did you use?
Ammonol.
Ammonol,
it's one of the highest forms of explosions there is.
And how much? We
would carry tons in. It went on for about 3 nights and days carrying explosive in.
How was it carried in? What containers?
We carried in by hand.
No, but what containers?
Well, it was a sort of a bag it was in. We carried it in that way. And
what would you do with it? Pack it in?
We packed it in not close to the ceiling, but almost. And then the stemming we should do, that's very important, you see, otherwise it would just blow the it would go to the line of the least resistance. Well, you've got to make your stemming as tight as what is in front of you or above you, otherwise it'd walk the wrong way, do you see?